A very happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers or play that role in many of our lives. We're thankful. And this morning, what we're going to be looking at in the Word, in some if not many ways, is something that comes to my mind as I think about mothers or my wife's role as a mother in our household and perhaps my own mother's role in my being brought up. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time in the book of Mark this morning and actually build a little bit on what we were looking at last week. I'll pause for a word of prayer. We're kind of just be reminded of where we've been so that we can then look forward to where we're going this morning as we're going to read some verses in Mark chapter 5 together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this day, a day in which we celebrate the blessing of relationship, the blessing of the many roles in which we play in one another's life. And in many ways, we are both givers and receivers in life. And it is a great opportunity to stop and pause and remember and celebrate our mothers and those who've brought us up, sacrificed on our behalf that we might be raised and brought forward in life, and a life that we might today be brought unto you, praise you, lift up our hearts to you. And as we're singing, worshiping, and praying this morning, I just pray that this morning, in the midst of a time of celebration, of family, of friends, that we might just again set our hearts and minds on you, the provider of it all. As we've just sung, that you grant and give us all of our days. You are the great blesser. And I pray that this morning, that in midst all the blessings that we have, that this morning we would be able to focus on you and once again look not only to who you are, but how it is you desire us to walk in all that you have called us to. And I thank you for this morning, your word. I thank you for this body, this family, this community. And just trust that once again you will be about your purpose as we look unto you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, as we've been walking together through the book of Job, we were looking at a little bit about what it meant, and perhaps in some seasons in our life, there is a difference between trials and temptations. We also looked at the fact that there's a difference last week between a trial and a test. A test being that which is a confirmation of what we have learned. And we looked a little bit at that last week, and that God is often putting us in a place, testing us, that he might see that we not only know about him, but that we've come to a grounding reality of walking in the truth of all that we know, that we've learned it, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge that leads to life. And as we are put to the test, in every way, it actually puts God to the test. And this is what we learn, that when God is tested, God never fails. Faithful to the end, tried and true. And the true learning here is that as we move forward, is that we walk in light of the reality that God never fails. He is our great provider. He is the way, the truth, the life. And today, though circumstances change, God never does. And so, as God allows us to go through times in our lives where we are stretched, pulled, we in that time will be molded, and often, as those disciples staring at those 12 baskets full, if you remember John chapter 6, we will be reminded of those places in which we have failed to remember his faithfulness today. Well, we're going to actually backtrack a little bit this morning, because as we were reading in Mark chapter 6, I want to remind you of these verses, and it will become quickly obvious how in some ways this morning our passage has reminded me in many ways of our celebration of mothers on Mother's Day. It said this in Mark 6 verse 30, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and remember this was after they had just gone out and God had given them power to cast out demons and heal the sick and preach repentance. It says, in all that excitement, they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. And the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. Now I note that as Jesus got in a boat with them, they had just come off a time, they had been traveling, they had been trusting, they had been preaching, they had been healing, and Jesus says, listen, we don't even have time to eat, let's get in a boat and let's go to a secluded place, and let's rest a while. Doesn't that sound good? Sounds good. Here's on the other side. The people see that they're going, and yes, beat them there on foot. Can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever been there, seeking holiday, seeking rest, and just when you think you're going to get it, something happens. And in our home, 5 kids, a dog, 2 cats, 100 chickens, 11 cows. I'll keep going. We're a zebra and a giraffe short of a zoo at our home. Listen, right? A turtle. Yes, even a turtle. Listen, you want rest? Lock yourself in the bathroom with your Bible. That might be the only place to get quiet time for devotion, right? And it brings me back to that point in place where I was chatting with a friend and colleague in ministry, a young lady who once said, hey, I've been thinking and pondering, and there's a great deal that God's been showing me about something I call the ministry of interruptions. And I said to her, I've been learning a great deal about the annoyance of interruptions. I'm glad you can consider it a ministry, right? But listen, if there's anything that can be said about motherhood, and I can speak to my wife, even this morning we had a conversation in which she said, hey, listen, since I got back, and you all know she's been on what was supposed to be a 3-week trip that ended up being a 2-month adventure helping her parents whose health is ailing, and as she's back only a few days, says, listen, I haven't even gotten to the things on my list yet since she got there, right? And there's the kids' school, and this decision, and that decision, and this thing that needs tending to. And in all, there's no time. And as we look at Jesus here and the disciples looking, longing for rest, going to a desolate place only to find more people. You know, I look back and I actually want to flip to Mark chapter 5. Because it's interesting, if you thought that was a problem, just look at the way that Jesus lived his life. Jesus, in Mark 5 and verse 18, and this is all preceding this moment in which they had left to rest. Mark 5 and verse 18 says this, as he was getting into a boat, this boat was the one he was getting into just after having cast out the demons, the legion, into a herd of swine. And the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. But he did not let him. And he said to him, go home to your people, report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Mark 5 verse 20 says, he went away and began proclaiming in Decapolis where great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing him fell at his feet and implored him earnestly saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that so she will get well and live. And he went off with him and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And then a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus perceived in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, and turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" It goes on, he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman was fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her. And he came and fell down before him, and he told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing, was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." I'm going to stop there because I don't know if you notice the chaos in the way that he was carrying about. He goes one place, there's a man with a legion of demons, and he's begging to go with him, and he says no, and he departs him, only to find another crowd, and he meets that crowd, and he's implored in the middle of dealing with them to go somewhere else because someone's daughter's dying. And he goes there, and while going there, someone's grabbing his cloak, right? And now he turns, and discovering who it was, speaks to her, and it says, while he was still speaking, he wasn't even done addressing this woman who had just touched him in order to be healed, and he's still speaking, and someone else comes up. Like, talk about interruption. And sometimes I read these verses, I often have the ability to go away and work. And so this I know my wife's day is filled with, right? Happy Mother's Day. Needs around every corner. Moments where you can never focus on one thing. And Jesus, as we look this morning, and as I tell you about my friend, truly didn't have the inconvenience of interruption, truly had the ministry of interruption. Always time for the right thing in the right way. And as God would confront, and I had to laugh as we were singing the second to last song, "All for Jesus." Often I wonder, we sing these songs, familiar melodies, right? Often familiar lyrics. And as we were singing this morning, there were words, and sometimes I actually sing things, and then I stop myself and think, now, do I actually mean that? It's easy to sing the song, harder to live what we sing. And this morning, all for Jesus, listen, we sung these words, "All my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender into your hands." You sang it. Did you mean it? All my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender into your hands. This is the question this morning. Is as we walk before a God who orders our days, a God whose ways are not our ways, a God whose time is not our time. Have we really come to that place where all my ambitions, hopes, plans have been surrendered into his hands? Because if I haven't come there, then the reality is my interruptions are merely an inconvenience. Because let's face it, interruptions seem to be the killer of all productivity, the great adversary of getting done what needs to be done. This weekend, we have a friend who often will show up at the strangest times, and I often laugh when I find out why he's there, because this weekend, he showed up, and I was just at the moment where my day was getting good, and I was going. And he arrives with his little daughter, and she's nearly one, and is like, "Hey, how you doing? What do we owe this pleasure?" "I got kicked out of the house. I'm too loud." His wife is a nurse and does shift work, and she was trying to sleep, and as I began to hear the reports from him, even when he did dishes, it sounded like he was demolishing the kitchen to her. And so he needed to find a place elsewhere, and there was no better place than our farm. And so now here we were. And in the moment, it's like, what? Shoot. Just when I was going to get going, just when things were getting good. And you see, now I'm confronted with the great conflict. What's the priority? Me? My list? My day? My hopes? My accomplishments? Or what? My friend who got kicked out by his wife, right? And loves the fact that my daughters love his daughter and loves that she can have companionship with them. And the reality is this. That today, if we are truly attached to the Lord, we have to understand that we belong to a God who will consistently and constantly be changing our plans, changing our path, messing with what we think we're going to do, because he's got other things he wants to do. Jesus had the wherewithal when the disciples said, as they were going, and the woman touched his cloak. And he says, "Who touched me?" And they're like, "Really? Really? In this chaos? You're going to stop and ask who?" Jesus had the wherewithal to know that in that moment, greater than where he was going was the one whom God had put on his path. Greater than the destination on the journey was that moment where that woman was destined to be healed in that interaction. But if he wasn't listening for the Lord, he'd never know. And many of us often, though Christians, though committed to a holy way, a life, just as Jesus sacrificed for us, we sacrifice. And yet, like the Good Samaritan, those who passed before him, many of us, not good at all, right? Like the priest who saw the man on the side of the road and yet too busy. Didn't want to be unclean. Didn't want plans disturbed. Didn't want to be thwarted from where they were going. Missed the ministry that God had. I think again, and as we talk about mothers in a ministry of interruption, no greater to think of than Mary herself. Think about Luke chapter 1 in that context. When you look at Luke in chapter 1, when it tells us this in verse 26, and it just was a good reminder to me this week. Now, in the sixth month, it says, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And to me, that's the smallest of questions, though it's a big one. Listen, hey, Lord, could you have come at any more inconvenient time than this? You may not have noticed, I'm engaged to a really nice man. Do you know what I'm saying? If there was any time to come and throw a wrench into things, I'm engaged and betrothed to be married. You're telling me I'm going to have a baby. I'm a virgin. I don't even want to think about what the ramifications of this are going to be. And ramifications they were. As we know, it would lead not to an easy road, but what? One of conflict? One of misunderstanding? One that would bring Mary herself onto the precipice of divorce as he was going to put her away quietly. Lord, why at a time like this? The engagement is going well. And you're going to impregnate me now, right? Lord, you're gonna put a wrench here. Look back at those disciples. Let's go to a desolate place for some rest. We don't even have time to eat. Yes. Just imagine their faces falling as they see the crowd ready to greet them on the other side as the boat makes it. Really, Lord? Just as we were about to get rest? Just as we were about to get food? Just as about we were get time to breathe? God says yes. Because there's something greater. And the reality is, the interruptions will only be an inconvenience if my priorities don't line up with his priorities. The reality is, the inconvenience is hard to take when my priorities have begun to outweigh his priorities. When my productivity prevails over God's promises and call for what he is prompting me to do. And here's the take home this morning is, have I come to that place where my priorities are so great that I'm missing his prompting today? Where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I have to say, who I have to talk to, is standing in the way of how God wants to use me. You see, if I had given hold of the inconvenience and the irritation of the untimely visitor, I would have missed good conversation. I would have missed edification. Both for me and for our friend. Someone longing for fellowship with their only daughter. To talk about parenting. Not only to be encouraged by the way they're parenting, but to be able, having five kids and they being a young family with one, being able, as my wife was, to encourage him in their walk with one. You see, there was a moment where all irritation left because in the midst of the interruption, incredible value, blessing. But I'll miss it if my mind is on myself and not on the one who's brought me, not on the one who's put me in that place. And today, as we move forward, we need to be not just running from interruption, expecting it. As Jesus walked, it was around every corner. Conversations at the most inconvenient times, people dropping out of the ceiling for heaven's sake to be healed in the middle of the meeting. Just as he's talking about, hey, I've got a parable for you. Hey, let me tell you about some wineskins. Boom, come and heal my friend. Do you know what I mean? Every time, every turn, something else. But here, wisdom. Wisdom to know that in that moment, the Father had something. either for him to receive, be blessed, or to give and be a blessing to those God was bringing across his path. Sometimes that interruption is in that very way. Just when we long for rest, more. Just when we long for less. And yet on the flip side, as we spoke last Sunday, it often can come in this way. The disciples had just gotten back from the first point and place where they had cast out demons, healed the sick, preached repentance. They had excitedly told them all that they had done. And Jesus says, let's go away. Sometimes I don't want to go away. Sometimes I want to do more. Life's just getting good. I want to see more. I want to speak more. And here's God, time for you to go to a desolate place. And I say, no. And God says, how about living life without your left foot for a while? Do you know what I mean? How about a sprained ankle to slow you down? How about, have you ever had that kind of interruption? Hey, I think I'm going to go over here and do this and do that. And God says, try it with one hand. I'm going to hurt your thumb. Thanks, God. I don't want rest right now. There's too much to do, too much to be done, too many people to save, too many sick to heal. And notice, they were all around them, crowding them. And just when ministry was heating up and there were more to be saved, more to be healed, Jesus says, time to go. Sometimes I don't want to go. And Jesus says, no, I'm taking you to a desolate place. And sometimes I don't even want the rest, and he forces me into rest. Get in the boat. And as we read on in Mark chapter 6, it actually tells us after the feeding of the 5,000, he forces them into the boat. He implores them and says, go, while he disperses the crowd. We won't talk about the storm that meets them halfway across the sea and their terror to follow, perhaps until next Sunday. But listen, he says, go. It's time to leave. And I wonder today, do we have the wisdom to see the interruptions for what they are? I'm in a moment where, as you know, I just haven't seen my kids for 2 months. You know, though we've spoken over the phone and talked, and for these first few days, there's this overwhelming joy in every moment. And in this moment, my little five-year-old, right, in the moment, just like yesterday, here's the question 10 times a day. Daddy, can I work with you? Daddy, can I do the chores with you? Daddy, can I help you? And I know that in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be, not now. I'm too busy now. I don't want to now. I'm doing something hard now. I'm working with machinery now. You can't now. Do you know what I mean? Think about this. In these last 3 days, absolutely. Sit on my lap in the excavator. Help me with the garden hose. Take me here. I'll take you there. Daddy, can we kick the ball? Absolutely. Daddy, can we play Pokemon? Okay, I don't have a clue what's going on. Let's go for it. Do you know what I mean? Overjoyed at the interruptions. And yet, as the heat picks up, as the intensity, as the demands of the day, guess what? Those interruptions become what? Less a blessing, more annoying. But what's changed? Not the interruption, my perspective. And often, it's my perspective that's wrong, not the interruption. And so this morning, here's the question as we go out these doors this week. Do I have the wisdom at tomorrow's interruption? And in fact, there may be some this afternoon. We're about to have a great Mother's Day celebration and who wants to come over? Really? And who needs a couch to sleep on? No, but it was just getting good. No, but we had just taken out our favorite food for our special time together, right? Do I have the wisdom today to grab hold of the fullness of this moment's interruption and not fall to that point and place where God's interruptions become my inconvenience? Do I have time to walk in His will today, in His ways? Or am I too set in my own wanderings? All my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender into Your hands. Are you at that place today? Because tomorrow, the interruptions are coming. And it will either be a ministry of God's making, or it will simply be that place where you're continually tortured by your own mandate of what you're missing getting done on your list. Jesus knew the Father and was so attached that He knew. And there were times when it was right. Times when it was right to say, listen, there's many to heal, but let's get in a boat and go. There were times when people wanted to go, like the man who was healed of the legion of demons, as we just read in Mark 5, and he says, I want to go with you. Let me get in your boat. And Jesus said, no, it's not your time, and it's not your place to come with me. And there is a time where my friend has come and I've had to say, it's not a good time. But am I attached to the Lord in the way that I know His time? Are my decisions made based on my own preoccupation, my own passions, my own ambitions, my own plans, or on His plan? God has prepared many good works for each and every one of us, but we may miss most of them if we cease to listen to His will and His way today. And perhaps even now, He's put His finger on your heart and sharing a place or two where perhaps there's an interruption in your life. And it could be a financial interruption where you don't have the provision you thought you would. It could be a physical interruption where you're not physically able to do what you once thought you could. It could be a physical interruption in which perhaps you thought you'd have a stable life, a stable home, and what you found is a season of instability, and you've been interrupted. It could be an interruption. We laugh because we've got four kids, a bit of a gap, and then a little guy who now is our terror, who I was just telling you about, who's with us and on us and keeps life exciting, and he's a blessing in every way. But we laugh with a few other friends and families who've had kids later on, and they've called their little one a little later the little surprise, and it was an interruption that they weren't expecting. And yet a blessing. A blessing. And so today, God may well be interrupting your life. And it comes in a variety of ways. Are you seeing Him today? Are you seeing His ambitions, hopes, and plans, not just yours? Are you surrendering it all into His hands? Today, if He's called you to interrupt in a season of rest, enjoy the rest. If He's interrupting you with a season of busyness, embrace it. because he's in it. If it's the needs today, and this is our celebration for mothers who do so good, and my wife above and beyond, because if it were left to me, our kids would be wild wanderers, and who knows what would happen. But listen, credit to her because of her willingness to be interrupted and have their needs paramount. As I often get consumed with things, she always comes back with that big picture of where our kids are going and how each decision is molding their lives. Not protecting them from the world, but equipping them from a world they're going into. In this season, are you seeing him, his way, his plan? Or as we read in that story of the Good Samaritan, listen, are we walking on the other side of the road because we don't want to be bothered or busied with others' needs when we are so committed to our own? Today we have a great ministry of interruptions modeled by the Lord Jesus himself. And today, if you seek and search his heart, he is enough to tell you when to say yes, when to go, when to rest, when to keep going, even when you feel like stopping, when to say no, when to help, and when to ask for help. He's enough, and he always will be. And I think of Mary and that Luke chapter 1 in which he comes at the most inconvenient time. You know, you could have come when I was at least not engaged yet. That only complicates things. I mean, you could have come sooner. You could have come later. I could have still been a virgin, and it wouldn't have looked so bad if I had been married already. Here's Galatians 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin woman. When the time was set, God knew when. It wasn't her time, it was his time. It was his time. And as the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may be it done to me according to your word. Today, as we go out these doors and as life sends us many curveballs in many ways, many shapes, many forms, may it be done to us according to the word of the Lord as we gain our strength from the Lord himself, as we look to the Lord in all things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that again we can open your word and be challenged. Challenged in lives in which we all have many ambitions, hopes, plans, dreams. And yet as we sang this morning, I trust as we sit here together gathered in this room, we come to a place where we can truly say we surrender all into your hands. I pray that we can celebrate mothers this morning, this day, people in our lives who have sacrificed much for our benefit, who've endured the interruption physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in so many ways blessed us. And we thank you that today, that in like manner, as they have been equipped, that the great equipper equips each and every one of us, that you are always enough for what today demands. I pray that as we set our lists, our hopes, our dreams, our to-dos at your feet this morning, that you would give us a renewed understanding, a renewed vision of your list, of your hopes, of the ways in which you hope to use us. Thank you that today you were willing to be interrupted, to come down out of heaven and sacrifice on our behalf, to take our sins you were inconvenienced on our behalf, and that today we too might be. And so I thank you for the times in which, as we go out these doors, you will provide seasons of rest, though we may not want it. In timely manner, you know we need it. Thank you for those times in which we long for rest, and yet you strengthen us to carry forward. I thank you that you are a loving and living Lord, and pray that as we go out, that we can not just know about you and the way you walk, but abide in you and walk with you in all things. Give us your eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and your hands to do. In all this we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.